Hi, everyone, and welcome to Las Musas Podcast. My name is Jessica Parra, and I am the author of Ruby Ramos's Recipe for Success, out May 16th through Wednesday Books. Today, I'm joined by Angela Montoya, El Gonzalez Rose, and Johnny Garza Villa. And on today's episode of Debut Diaries, the YA edition, we'll be talking about marketing, publicity, and author branding. Can you start us off by introducing yourselves and telling us a little bit about your book? Johnny, do you want to go first?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm Johnny Garza Villa. I am, I guess, the sophomore presence here, but love being here. I am the author of Ander and Santi Were Here, about a non-binary muralist who falls for the newest waiter at their family's taqueria. A lot more trauma in that than I put out there. But like, you know what? It's also fun and really Mexican and really San Antonio, Texas vibes. And that's out May 2nd.
Elle, do you want to go next?
Yeah. My name's Elle Gonzalez Rose. I'm the author of Caught in a Bad Fomance, which is coming out on December 5th of this year. I'm not used to saying it, so I'm getting the date wrong. It comes out on December 5th of this year from Joy Revolution. It is a queer YA rom-com about how the sons of two rival families decide to fake date for a very mutually beneficial blackmail scheme.
Love the sound of both of your guys' books. And Angela, you have to tell us about Sinner's Isle.
Yes, I will. At first, I just want to say it's so funny to be on the reverse side of things and being a fan of Las Musas podcast for so long. And then here with all of you guys, just looking at you guys, so beautiful, so perfect. I am honored and excited. So my name is Angela Montoya, and I am the author of a YA young fantasy romance, and it's called Sinner's Isle. And basically, to put it in a tiny little nutshell, it is about a powerful witch who has been exiled to a tiny island in the center of the sea, and she knows she needs to escape. And so in order to do that, she blackmails a pirate. And so a bunch of hijinks is involved. And of course, it is a romance. So I think you guys can put two and two together. So that comes out on Halloween of 2023 with Joy Revolution.
And it is also Angela's birthday that day. So yes. I am so excited for all of our books. It's not just because like we're all debuting together, but I really think that 2023 did not come to play. So I am so excited and my wallet is going to be hurting because so many books. So we're going to go over some questions. And the first one I have is, since we are talking about marketing, publicity, and author branding, in some ways, it could feel like you're selling yourself as an author just as much as you're selling your book to an editor. Did you guys face this sort of experience or have that kind of mindset when you guys were on sub or in initial talks with editors? And Johnny, we'll start with you again.
Oh, okay, cool. Yes, absolutely. 100%. And I mean, I don't think that it's like any sort of advice that foundationally comes with malintent. I think it's more just like, recognize that you did this very wildly cool thing and you're talking to someone who is eager to pay you human money for that wildly cool thing. So like, not so much selling yourself, but just like be the chingona that you know that you are and just relax the shoulders and like show yourself some love and show the characters that have been living in your head some love. And that's really what they want to hear from you and see about you, is that, you know, you can do these kind of things.
I love that. Elle, do you want to chime in?
Yeah, I think that I didn't experience it too much in the sub process, but I know that something like I've struggled with like ever since then is that I'm very much like a genre hopper as a person. Like I want to write a little bit of everything. So even though I started with rom-com and all of my stories have a little bit of romance, like my current work in progress is like a really, really dark thriller with like a lot of murder and like a little bit of romance, but that's kind of not the point. And it was very difficult to kind of figure out, you know, my strengths in these books, I think, are very different. Like in one, it's comedy. And in the other one, I don't know, I guess we'll see when I'm actually like done with it and what people have to say. But it was interesting to see kind of like something I didn't anticipate was that you're not boxed in per se, but like, you have to take brands so seriously. And that's something that like, there are talks about is like, even down to like, when I was doing my website, I was like, how am I going to have the cover for a thriller and the cover for a rom-com at like a lake on the same page? And how are you going to do that? So I remember when I did my website, I talked to my designer and I said, I want this to feel like it's about me as a person versus like what my books are about, because I want to have the freedom to do kind of whatever I want with my books. That's what I enjoy about writing, is writing whatever I want. But that's also difficult, because then it's like, well, who are you as a writer, as an author? And it almost feels kind of like when you're a freshman in college or a senior in high school and you're being told to like declare a major and figure out what you want. And I'm like, I don't know yet. I don't know what I want to be. I want to explore and grow. You know, I'm pretty young, all things considered. And I was like, not just like in age, but also in the book world, and very young. This is my first book. I don't want to like establish a brand now that's going to define me for the for the rest of my career. So I'll say it's definitely something that like comes up more than I thought that it would. And it was definitely not something that I thought about, but that I have to think a lot about now. And I don't know what the answer is, but it is something to be aware of.
Angela?
For me, honestly, like as soon as I started writing, I hopped right on to Instagram and was like, you know, just out here networking, kind of just learning the ropes, because it was something I heard of a lot, like through probably like Alexa Dunn or whoever was on YouTube that I was, you know, fascinated with, probably obsessed with at the time. And so I hopped onto Instagram and started like seeing how other authors were doing things. And I was like, okay, my brand is going to be like pictures of like cool books. And then I quickly learned that I cannot take aesthetic pictures of books. And like, I was failing miserably. And so I started just kind of like feeling my way through it. And especially it feels like for young adults in particular, being online felt very like something that, not pressure to do it, but it was something that I noticed a lot of very successful young adult authors were online often. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, if that's where I'm going, because young adult was always kind of was my first like thing I started writing in, then I'm going to be online. And then I just sort of fell in love with it, not even for like posting so much, but for the community. And all of my friends are basically virtual friends that I just look out through Zoom now. But then I sort of built this brand of just having fun on here, I think, and then a little bit, you know, a little sassy, a little witchy, whatever you want to call it. But then I started feeling a little nervous, because when I hopped onto TikTok, and everything is out the window that you learn from Instagram, where it's the nice picture, a good caption. TikTok isn't that. And so then I just leaned on the thing I do anyways, which is humor. I became kind of nervous that everybody would expect these really funny books. And they're not, my books aren't necessarily funny. I have funny characters, but it's not like this humorous book. So branding feels like very hard to lock down. But I just feel like when you're enjoying yourself and you are who you are, like those right readers or friendships will come. And so that's where I'm at right now, where branding is not what I focus on. It's more community, and it's been really helpful.
I love those answers. And just to quickly, like, I agree with like all of you guys. And like, for me, like when I was on Sub, like I'll go back to something that Elle said, how it's like, I started like my website, I think like a, maybe like a month before going on Sub. And like Elle, it's like, I'm debuting with like a, I guess like a rom-com, but that's like not me. Like I am a horror expert, and that's like my expertise. So I did tell like my website designer, okay, like let's plant some like little breadcrumbs like on the website now. Yeah, they'll see like the cutesy, you know, like the palm trees. Cause it, no, even if I do horror, when I do horror, it's still going to be very beachy, but I'm like, let's also put some like killer sharks and like some machetes in there to like, you know, to like start setting that up. Cause that's where I want to like go, you know, lean into that. That brings us to the next question. And Angela, like you covered a lot about it already, like leaning into that, like the author brand. So it's like, I just wanted to know, yeah, like the general thoughts on author brand. And I guess I'll start first and then we'll go backwards, but for me, like what you said, Angela, it's like, yeah, you're just doing you. Because I feel like, and the only social media that I'm on is on Instagram. I feel like I'm like too young for Facebook and too old for TikTok, like personally, you know, so I was like born like not at the wrong, like at the wrong time for like everything. So I'm like, I'll just like do this. But it's like, I like my, like, and I'm not very active recently, I have, but it's just like me. And it's like the way I'm just looking at it is like, I'm just going to be like on as me. And if like writing or being an author is a part of that, then that's what it is. But that's not going to be like the main thing, which for me, that's as comfortable as I am with like the whole like author thing. So it's like, if it doesn't like get me like readers or whatever, then so be it. Like, it's like what Angela said, I just think you have to do something that like you're having fun and you're comfortable with it. And I don't know though, like how much that like fits into like the corporate machine. So those are like some of the things that I'm struggling with now that we'll get like more into and yeah, get all of those thoughts. But because I feel like it's like they hired me like as a writer, so I'm going to write books. Like I'm not a marketer. So it's like, yeah, spicy takes already. So let's start with you. So thoughts on author brand.
Yeah, I think something that I've really struggled with is that, like, you know, exactly what Angela was saying, that it's like, you want to do what you want to enjoy, what you enjoy doing. And I think that that makes kind of the lift of marketing yourself so much easier is when you genuinely enjoy what you're talking about. And for me, that's kind of like, that's always been like, what do I enjoy on social media is being kind of silly. And I'll do like, I love video games. So I used to do a series on my Instagram before I ever did writing where like people could watch me in this certain video game. Like I was always accidentally killing my horses. There were like all these incidents. So I had like a whole series about my horses, but now it's like, do video game horses fit with like queer YA romance? Not necessarily. Do they fit with thrillers? Not necessarily, but it's fun. So it's a struggle to find kind of like, where does the stuff that you enjoy line up with what people, I guess, expect of you? And that's so difficult to figure out. And I find that sometimes I will like get caught up in this reminder that so much of our media is public, like we are public figures in a way. So I always say my biggest regret is that I didn't make a separate Instagram. I made a separate Twitter. I didn't have really a Twitter at the time. So I made like a Twitter for like my author brand. And I wish I had done that with my Instagram. So I don't feel like I'm like talking about my books all the time to like my family. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, Titi, you're seeing me post this yet again. Like, I'm so sorry. But I think that's something about like something that always comes to mind when I'm on Twitter and when I post on Twitter and when I interact with people on Twitter is that everything is public. Everything is something that anyone can see. And I feel obviously more comfortable with people in the DMs, but I always just try to think about that, that everything that I put out there is for public consumption, because when you put your writing out there, especially in YA, you also become a public figure. You're not like this recluse off in the woods. And I'm not saying anything controversial or anything like that, but it's also something to think about is, you know, do I really want to put out there details that could be very like telling about my personal life that I don't really want to put out there, details about like, I don't want to post that I was at brunch necessarily the way I might have before, because that tells you where I live, that tells you where I am, that tells you who my friends are. And I find myself just so caught up in privacy that I often forget about author brand. I think I'm still confused about author brand because as someone who's writing in such different genres and has like two very different things going on, I'm just trying to figure that out. I have fun doing silly things is what I've gone with. I've tried to figure out, how do they relate back to writing? How do they relate back to my brand? I don't know. And also like how much of these like non-writing related funny things am I willing to share? So I think that's where it gets a little difficult, is figuring out how much to say, how much not to say. Branding yourself also, I think, is taxing in some ways and takes a little bit of the fun out of it. So it's, you know, I want to maintain that fun and that excitement and not wanting to make it feel like work, which is also a huge thing within writing itself, is making sure that it doesn't become so taxing that you don't want to do it anymore. So in conclusion, I don't know. I'm just confused still. I'm still figuring it out.
What about you, Angela? What are your thoughts on author brand?
Well, it made me think of, I mean, for me, I'm on Twitter, but Twitter is terrifying to me. So Twitter feels more like that's business. If there's something happening in the book world, I can post it there or retweet what other friends are doing. What I really like about Instagram in particular is like the feed is the feed, right? Oh, people see it. whatever it is, it's all there. But stories, you can show a lot of who you are, your personality, your bad humor, whatever it is, you know, it's like, it's there. But it is interesting when you do post and people that you didn't realize maybe follow you, or you know they follow you, but maybe they're too big to notice you, and then they notice you and you're like, oh crap, maybe I shouldn't have said all of that because it was actually about them. So which I've learned. So I feel like, just like what Elle was saying, is you do want to post all these things, but being cautious is so important, because there's so many aspects to social media, and it's a huge world, and people you don't really realize are watching you are watching you. And like, as far as like posting things about your life that are beyond publishing, you know, like I love what Jessica Parra does over here, where, you know, she's showing some Disneyland shots up on the feed. She's over here looking amazing and, you know, doing all these fun things, but it correlates also to writing, perhaps, you know, in some way. And so I think even things that you're doing outside of writing can somehow correlate to writing. And one of my favorite things, actually, Jessica always kind of like reminds me to do, is to live and to go beyond books and publishing, and how that always really does affect your stories in the end, because when you're truly living, you have things to write about. And so, you know, I think like the more you're out doing things, the more you have that you can post about, but also like what Elle says, but also be cautious with that and not being like, hey, I'm in this city that's 5 miles away from my city, you know, and I go here every Tuesday. So, you know, it's author brand is this weird thing that we're always constantly figuring out. And so like Elle, I that's all I have to say. Well, I don't know.
What about you, Johnny?
Yeah, I think like, I mean, in like the year of our Lord Gaga 2023, like social media is heavily like where author brand lives. But I like to also think of author brand as like, you know, five, six years after the debut year experience, if you go into a bookstore and you see, you know, your books lined up on the bookshelf, what is that common heart and soul that sort of translates across each of those titles? But I also think like, does there need to be a consistent heart and soul across all of those books? And like, to the question of what are your thoughts on author brand, I think Elle put it perfectly of, I don't know. Like, I think to have or to want an author brand is both equally correct and wrong. I used to say that I really wanted to be like the Sandy Rosario Cheeks of YA. Like I really wanted to be flagrantly Texan, brown, queer, and sleepy for 3 months of the year. Like that was what I want to do. But I think whenever it comes to like being traditionally published, publishers and even readers kind of take those little snippets of who we are and our identity, be it if we're BIPOC authors, queer authors, disabled, those with multiple marginalizations, and like stick that and make that into who our brand is. And like, I'm really eager for the day that I'm not compared to Aristotle and Dante, because that's the one queer Mexican book that people can be bothered to read. Like, I think that like, there are an exceptional amount of queer Mexican YA out there, and like, we can all read all of them and not pay attention to the one and have that kind of compared and value us as an author and what our brand is, as how it compares to the thing everyone else loves. And I think like going back to, I think Elle also had mentioned, I think, and even Jess, like of just this genre hopping, which I love. I think that's super cool. But I also remember someone in my publishing life had told me that they want my first 5 books to be the same. Contemporary, big emotion, and after 5, we can think about what we want to do next. And I'm like, one, what makes you think I have 5 book ideas? But 2, what if I want to write some campy high fantasy? Like, you know, what if I want to do something that's not what y'all want to do? And so like in there is so much control of what's driving our brand is being pushed by how big that advance check is. And, you know, wanting to kind of stay safe in publishing because so little of us get the opportunity to tell our stories in a way that we want to, but also being able to do it in the way that we want to. But I do like the idea of an author brand when the author has control over it. Like, I love the idea that people can look at my books and know that this is where young queer Latinas can find a home in. And I love the idea that, like, you can see my books and hopefully people will one day realize if you hate untranslated Spanish in books, just skip me, go to another book. Like, these sort of things that we can control ourselves to know readers, and that readers can then know us and know whether or not we're for them.
Oh, I love that so much. And you're so right, because it's like when you were talking, I was just thinking, yeah, like even in option clauses, like our option clauses, like say, okay, this is like what you have to write next. So
gotta write the contemporary, the rom-com, and get that to us ASAP. Like, what if I want to write the spoopy thing? Like, you know?
Yeah, then it's like, if we want to write that, then it's like, we're going to have to go to like another publishing house and go and start the process all over again. And then when we get that,
but you're still stuck in that option whenever you eventually do write that rom-com. Exactly. You gotta go back to that.
Yeah, no, it's like the more I like go in, it's like the more I like realize that it's like, and I mean this, I should have realized this before, but it's like we're really in like the corporate cog of it now, and you really feel that, I think. Yeah, but we'll get back to that later. But that leads us to, I think, talking, you know, like after talking about author brand. So it's like, what expectations do you guys feel about like having to have that author brand on, like at festivals, panels, or yeah, we already touched on it a little bit, like with social media, but like, you know, like when we do, like now that our books are going to be coming out, it's like, we're going to go offline and go into like the real world. So how do you guys like feel about that? The expectations of like carrying that, what you've put out like online, into like the real world?
No, I think honestly for me, that is the most stressful part, is to take it offline and into a human to human type of situation, because I am extremely introverted. I hate leaving my house. I hate speaking to people. And so the idea of going somewhere is really, really scary to me, especially if they listen to me on a podcast or watch the videos I do. They might be expecting somebody that is, you know, I don't know, saying jokes or whatever I'm doing. And that truly is me, but I also have a low social battery. My resting bitch face is so strong. She comes out and is scary. And so I'm so nervous that, say, I do go on to a panel, and literally, if I'm just thinking about food, my face is scary. And so I am and so I always feel this need to smile and to mask it, right? And I think that is just maybe a Latina thing. We have this very good bitch face. And so I always find myself masking it in a smile and like a, you know, like, you know, but being on a public platform is very intimidating for me. And I'm not so sure I can do it. So I'm just going to follow your guys' lead, and whatever you guys do, that's what I'll do.
Johnny, what about you? You're going to be at Y'all West soon. No. So.
And like, I remember like when my debut book came out, it was during the pandemic, and I was given a few opportunities by friends who had like online social presences to be like in their online panels and stuff. And I always held myself to such a high standard of like, people are watching. If I do a crappy job here, no one's gonna want me at their Y'all West or their Texas festivals of whatever. Like, and that gave me so much more anxiety than I already have. And so I think it's really like just learning like how you are able to perform at your best and like what sort of accommodations you need. I, for one, am like no stranger to asking people like, what are the questions beforehand? I need to know this. Otherwise, I am going to ramble and I'm probably going to cuss. And if you don't want me to cuss in front of 14-year-olds, give me those questions. And so like, it's really just learning how you do best. And like, I think especially for debut authors, there's also just this push in our minds of like, we've got to say yes to literally anything that comes our way, to everyone who asks us of anything. We have to say yes, we'll be there. What do you need from me? How can I serve you, my king? But like, I remember having this conversation with the wonderful Donna Barba-Higuera, and she was like, I better not find out that you're saying yes to everything. Like, say no to some things, because it's okay to not be on all the time. And I was like, yes, mother, of course, like, I will do whatever you say. And I do think that's important. Like, if you're not having fun anymore, if you're not going to have fun to begin with, just say no. I think the important thing is that whatever you do, do it intentionally and do it in a way that you're going to have the most fun possible doing it. And I mean, as an introvert, like, yes, fully, I get it. I'm already preparing to just go into a cave at the beginning of July by myself, not talk to anyone. I remember after the ALAs last year on the plane home, I was like, if I never get on a plane to go somewhere bookish for the rest of the year, that would be great. That would be the best thing possible, because I'm just tired of talking to anyone now. And it's learn to say no, have fun doing what you're going to do, and say no to everything
else. What about you, Elle?
I think I'm extroverted. So I have so much fun meeting new people. I think, like, thankfully that has not, in the few instances I've done either like talking to folks or IRL stuff, I have found so much joy in like being able to actually talk about it with people, because I've spent so long not being allowed to talk about this book. So it feels very weird and very exciting. But the thing that I find that I struggle with the most is I have personally this obsession with needing to sound well-spoken. And I just spend so much time caught up in, I know that I personally, and you probably have realized this listening to this podcast, it's like, she tends to repeat herself a lot. And yeah, I do. I know it's a problem. And I find that sometimes I'll make a really great point and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to say it again for some reason until I find another point to make. And then I didn't. And then I just said the same thing twice and I look like a fool. So I do a lot of that. And I've been struggling to figure out how to balance that, you know, being excited and talking, and, you know, maybe even when I know the question, I try not to prepare too much because I want to have kind of like an off the cuff moment with whoever I'm speaking with. But I do think that there's this pressure to, I guess, yeah, be well spoken, to like be very eloquent in the way that you talk about things, and remembering also that a lot of this stuff not lives forever, but like I never want to trip up and say something that I didn't mean, or that we've taken out of context is going to sound different. So I think about that a lot. Like when I talk about certain things, I make sure to caveat them. And I'm like, well, when I say this, like if I say, you know, a thing about publishing, I always caveat it in my experience, or I say things like, you know, because of X, Y, and Z, I think that in publishing, so-and-so, but I want to make sure that I am caveating everything that I say as much as possible. And that always kind of throws me off when I'm talking off the cuff with someone, as opposed to writing something. It's so much easier to like write out an answer and you can double check it and it's exactly what you want it to say. But when you're talking just in person, there's no kind of moment to breathe and to figure out like, okay, what am I going to say? Like, how am I going to answer that? Especially when it's a question you don't anticipate, which is why I'm going to second what Johnny said and definitely ask for questions in advance, because there are certain questions that, you know, the answer to them is something that I do that like is something very personal. And I don't necessarily want to talk about that in a very public setting. And that'll always trip me up. And then I'm like, well, how do I avoid answering this question? I don't know. But it was such an innocent question. I didn't think not to ask that. And another thing is that even though I rely on humor as a person, that's just kind of like my way of interacting with people is through humor. It's very much not the same humor that's in my book. I always say that my main character of my debut would hate me. So he would just not like me, because he would find me like, we would just not get along. And I think that if you went into my book, like read that and you're like, I want to see that person, the person who wrote that book. It's like, it's me. I don't really sound like the person who probably wrote this book though. So I think about that a lot, like trying to sound kind of like my book. And I do not sound like either any of my books. They do not sound like me as a person. I don't think people who know me intimately probably would disagree and they'd be like, this person is just you. What are you talking about? But I don't think I sound like them. So that's something that I think about a lot too.
I can't wait to read your book now. So then I could be like,
this checks out. Exactly. Elle would never say that.
So before we get out into the real world and off of like our like online like little stuff that we're doing. Before we do that, we have to promote our books, right? So social media has been like the biggest, hugest tool for doing that. Whoever is going to like be editing this, they have to like edit this part out. Okay. So I'm going to start that over. A huge tool for book promotion, because we don't have support from our publisher or maybe in tandem with things our book publisher is doing. So how big of a role has social media played thus far in getting the word out for your book? Is there a social media platform you like best? What are the best practices for self-promotion and social media? Johnny, let's start with you.
I think comparatively, social media has been far less of a thing I'm worried about for Ander and Santi were here than for 1500 Miles from the Sun. And maybe it's because that one was from a much smaller publisher that like literally I was getting nothing from. So I was all over Twitter. That was kind of like my social media platform of choice. My agent said I was really good at it. So I think I was really good at it because I love validation. But I think, and now I probably would not do Twitter. I'm trying to get back into Instagram. I'm so bad at it. But like the past couple of weeks, I've been doing like 3 posts a week and I'm like, oh, look at me. I'm an Instagram girly now. And I think that like, I also am on TikTok, but in a way of just like, I do it whenever like I see something that might be fun to do. I across all social medias, I never want to do it because I feel like I have to do it or because I think that there is any sort of trajectory for success that comes from social media. I think if anyone is of the belief that you're going to become a bestseller because of the things you do on TikTok, that's a lie. And I think that like we just need to be able to define for ourselves what makes success on social media. For me, like, I'm not going to be like, I need 1 million views on every TikTok thing, because that's not going to happen at all ever. But like whenever I post something about my cover and I have like 2 people who are like, oh, I just pre-ordered it now, like that's a huge success. Cool, because then you're going to go maybe tell your friends about it. Like I've done something here that I can be happy about. But yeah, I think now for Ander and Santi, we're here. Whenever I do promote on social media, is mostly Instagram and TikTok. And those have been really fun for me.
What about you, Elle?
Yeah, I agree that I think that Twitter used to be like my platform of choice, but now I think I'm moving a little bit more towards Instagram. Actually, going back to what Angela said about having stories, like this kind of like very temporary way of giving a glimpse at your life. I kind of like that a little bit more, where it feels like I don't have to think about it as much. I can just kind of post a very quick, like, I love to post my dog, and I'm like, not have to worry about like that living on my feed forever. So I do kind of like that aspect of Instagram a little bit more in terms of being able to show a little bit more about yourself. And TikTok, I'm still figuring it out. I was trying to do the whole algorithm thing, and I was like, now I'm going to do what Johnny does, and I'm just going to post when I see something that I think makes sense or I want to do and it feels more fun. But I think it's interesting that like I'm so early in the process, but it's weird because it feels like in the beginning, you're like, okay, well, social media, I am the only way anyone is going to know about this book, especially in the beginning. It's like, nobody knows who I am. Nobody cares. I think Angela and I got a little bit of a leg up because Joy Revolution was very new. So we were being introduced kind of, you know, as like a new imprint. And there was like kind of a boost from being associated with them, like as it was first being launched. But, you know, nobody knows that I'm publishing a book. Why would they? There's nothing, you know, unless they're like trolling through Publishers Marketplace or like the trades, the like children's newsletter. Why would they know? Like, so the onus feels like it really is on you. But I will say that like I found that, you know, when I look at like my Goodreads ads, I'll get like a whole bunch of ads out of nowhere when I did not tweet about it, when I did not post about it. And what really matters is organic posts about your content, is when someone else, I guess, like I would always say like out loud, I'm like, I guess someone talked about my book somewhere, because I'm suddenly getting all these ads that, and I didn't do anything. Whereas I don't think that anything that I did, except with the exception of one post, ever really moved the needle at all. And I will say something I found about like social media. I don't know who said this, but I do think this is true, which is that Twitter is good for meeting other writers and booksellers, and that Instagram and TikTok are where the readers actually are. And I found that I posted like, you know, the classic trope graphic, little arrow graphic. I posted it on Twitter. It did well. And then I posted it on Instagram with a couple of hashtags that like I saw a couple of other authors use, and it got 700 likes. It's like, huh? Where did that come from? And it was all readers, like actual readers were really, really excited and were at the time like, where can I pre-order it? And I was like, I don't have a link yet. I'm sorry. So I wish I'd waited a little bit to post it. But that had not happened to me really on Twitter to the same degree, where like a tweet about my book had gone viral like that. And it's not viral, but it was such like organic growth, just people showing up out of nowhere. And I thought that was super cool. So that's something I'm definitely keeping in mind a little more. But I find that really like the best way that you're going to get anything out of social media is other people talking about your book, because I'm just talking to the same 900 people on Instagram, 500 people on TikTok, and 1800 people on Twitter. They're tired of hearing from me. If my titi has to see me post another damn thing about this book, she's going to unfollow me. So you're really just talking to the same people, but when it's organically getting out there and other people are talking about it to their friends, that's a whole new group of people that you couldn't even touch. They never would have gone out and looked for you. So I think that's kind of what gets lost when we talk about social media. Yeah, it does help. But not really when it's coming from you, when it's going viral on TikTok because someone else talked about it. Because you are probably not going to listen to me when I say the book's good. Yeah, of course I think the book's good. But if someone else says it, that means a whole lot more. And I think that's something that often gets lost in the conversation is how do you get the book to those people and have them talk about it? That's really what's going to be better for you in the long run, I think.
Oh, I love that so much. And we're going to definitely circle back to that when it comes to marketing and publicity. But Angela, do you have any other thing to add about that?
No, I mean, just what you guys said. I think for authors, we're on a different side of social media. I mean, especially on TikTok, there is this conversation of authors staying out of readers' spaces. And because a lot of authors violate that and they'll hear somebody talking about their book and then stitch them or whatever, and it's just really ugly. And so I think we're on social media, but we're not on the side of social media that's going to sell the books, right? We're not on the reader's side. And like Elle said, unless a reader is saying something about your book and they have a platform or they're just bragging about how amazing it is, it's not going to push the needle that much. But just like Johnny said, if you're posting something and two people are like, oh, I pre-ordered, that is huge, because it's still something you did was personal enough to them and spoke enough to them that they're like, I'm going to pre-order this book. And that's more of a personal type of transaction, relationship. And I am here for those things, because it's like you find these people that like really cling on to you and what you have to say, and they become the most loyal readers, the most loyal friends, and they are there with you forever. And I started, you know, Instagram, I don't even remember, years ago, like 2000, who knows, let's not even bring that up. But I started it, and still to this day, like my first like 100 followers are still like some of my favorite people. And they were the ones that were screaming the loudest when it was time to like reveal my cover. And so for me, again, like social media is more of a personal thing of just like, this is what I'm doing. I apologize if I'm being annoying about it, but if you're still here, be prepared, because I'm going to get more annoying. And I'm going to annoy you until you buy everything I have to offer. I just think social media is this weird place, but it's also this it could be beautiful as well. I mean, if we didn't have it, I probably wouldn't have heard of Las Musas and then been on here with you guys, or Pitch Wars, you know, rest in peace. But like, I would have never heard of it had that I not been on here. So I think for authors, it's learning where you sort of belong. And being okay in that space and not getting into a space where readers are not going to be happy to see you. But also, Elle, repost that thing that you posted on Instagram that did well. Repost it. And now you have pre-order links. So do it again.
Be like, I'm back again. I have information now. It's been 3 months.
Well, you can repost it now because your cover reveal is going to be so soon. You're going to be able to do that.
Less than a week.
Okay, going back to something that Elle said too about, you know, it's like the readers that are going to be like getting the word out on the book. And like what Johnny said, like the readers are going to be like the ones like buying it. You know, it's like on the publisher, in order for that to happen, there has to be like marketing and publicity. So like really quickly for those people that, you know, may not be familiar, marketing is everything that a publisher has to pay for versus like publicity is what, you know, like they'll pitch you to things that like, that they don't have to like pay for. So as far as the publisher, is there anything that your publisher has done to push marketing and publicity for your book? Or on, and also if you guys have any thoughts on marketing and publicity, like in general too, we could talk about that as well.
I would also like asterisk that like marketing is stuff that we pay for ourselves too. I think like is like a much more lengthy topic of like what we're paying for and how we're paying for that. But yeah, I think that like, it's great, one, to have a publisher that is putting that money behind you. I mean, now I think especially we see that like there's even a lack of like physical ARCs being made by publishers. And ARCs are a huge source of marketing and reaching readers and like not only getting readers to read it first, but having like a physical thing that like a bookstagrammer can go and take a picture with, or like a book talker can like put on their video. This is a heavily marketable item that publishers are in a lot of ways running away from. I'm thankful that not me, bless. But like fully happy that like I have ARCs of my book. My debut, I made and like did a pre-order campaign all myself, buying the, like commissioning the artwork, buying the cards, shipping it all out. For this book, Under Something We're Here, my publisher is like, commission the work, we'll take care of printing and shipping and all of that. And I'm like, y'all are perfect. Stay exactly as you are. And so like, yeah, like it's the benefits of having a publisher that goes to bat for you when it comes to the money is just like a huge thing that like, I think one makes you want to stay there, like makes you want to stick with that imprint. And like, I hope that publishers see that as a huge benefit of like, if you want this author to stay, like show them your wallet.
What about you, Angela?
I feel like I'm not like far enough into the game yet where I know what the plan is. You know, I mean, I am one of those who won't be getting a physical ARC. You know, I found out and I had a good solid cry about it. And, but then I was just like, I'm really bad at shipping things anyways. So maybe this is a blessing in disguise, because I'd probably have this box of ARCs still sitting, you know, months later. But it was one of those things where, you know, I got the email and it wasn't our imprint, but it's a larger publishing decision. And so at first I was like, is it me? Did I do something wrong? But really, you know, like our editor, I say our, because Elle and I, you know, we share the same editor. But she was like, you know, we're going to have e-arcs. You'll be fine. I know it's kind of a bummer, but we're going to make it work however, you know, you want to. And I, you know, it was just one of those things where you picture something in your head because you see so many people who get that and you're like, oh, I can't wait to get the box and I'm so excited. But really it's okay. And all of these like little setbacks in the grand scheme of things aren't such a huge deal, you know? I mean, because at the end of the day, I'm still getting to publish my book. And but as far as like marketing and publicity, I'm still so many months out. It feels like I have no clue. And I feel like maybe that's just me in general. I'm in a constant, I have no clue zone. And so I'm just making my way through.
Yeah.
Because you're a ways away as well. And I think usually publicity and marketing meetings don't happen usually until like what, like anywhere from like 3 to 6
maybe
months.
Maybe a few months before pub date.
Yeah. It's going to be a minute. For me. So I'm kind of in the same boat, but I will say like, just like from the perspective of watching, you know, other debuts and things like that, I want to echo what Johnny said, that a lot of it is like, what the publisher decides. And so much of it seems to be out of the hands of authors. Like I've seen some authors, they get to be sent on like a 10 city world tour and they get all these cool events and stuff like that. They are paying for like a really awesome pre-order campaign. They're getting this, they're getting that. And when the book hits the New York Times bestseller list, so you're like, yeah, naturally, like that was going to make sense. And you know, it's not to say that, you know, the book doesn't deserve it. Many of these books are wonderful, but you know, it's like, how can you expect the same thing from someone that you give nothing to, that they have to pay their way for everything and they have to do everything completely out of pocket? It's like, yeah, you cannot expect the same level of success. And I think that that's something that we so often get lost in, and it's good to remind ourselves that others sometimes, you know, publishing will throw themselves fully and wholly into one book and they're going to make sure it succeeds. And a lot of the others are just kind of set out to sea. And they're like, if you get back, great. If not, okay. You know, like Godspeed to you. See how your book does. And it just really depends.
Can I say, even with like the free stuff, like how much that comes into play too, like the difference between sending an author their book cover and just like, here, tweet about it. There's your cover reveal. Versus like, oh, we talked to Cosmo, we've talked to E, we've talked to Teen Vogue. Like, there's a huge difference. That's free. Like, you're just asking these people to put up a lot more front for this book cover than like Instagram works for you, sweaty. Like, you know, and I think, you know, in all ways, publishing is just sort of like putting you on, here's where you fall in line, and you're gonna have to sit there and make the best of it.
Yeah. And tying off of that too, I think that a big thing too is like how much effort they put into really like tailoring things to your book. Like, you know, if they really know like, oh, you know, your book would be great like with this community or like on this outlet, and like really taking the time and care to know where your book is going to fit in the market versus being like, you're gonna go where like every book goes or things like that. Like you shouldn't really have the same marketing plan for a rom-com and a fantasy, but some publishers will because they just kind of lump all the books together. But the best marketing plans are the ones feel like they're the ones that are like really tailored to what that book is and what its strengths are. And they really take the time to think about what the audience for this book is, which is what kind of is their job. I don't know who, you know, I don't know the readership really the way that they do. I can't really do anything to get this book to those readers because I'm just one person, but they know that. And that's a big thing too, is when they take the time to sit there and know, where does this book belong and where is it going to do best, can really change things. And that's how you get that really organic growth, because they've put it in the hands of the people that are going to talk about it and make it the success that they want it to be.
I totally agree with that. And I think it's like, especially like, you think it's like, if you were getting published by like a big five, that they would have that already like nailed down. And sometimes they don't, because especially like as a marginalized author too, like it's like my cover reveal was like in September, and I'm like, okay, well, are we doing anything for, you know, like Latinx Heritage Month? Like to me, that would make sense that it would happen during that week. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, but it's like, it was like too late for that. Or it's like me being like, okay, well, what about to like these publications or like these people that like, you know, are like hip Latina or like different things. And it's like, oh, okay. So it's sometimes, and that's like what's frustrating, because again, it's like, and I want to talk about this, especially with Johnny, since he's done this before with like pre-order campaigns. It's, I feel like a lot of the things authors wouldn't mind being on top of, but there's just so much that we don't know. And like so much of the stuff is happening behind the scenes. So it's like, how much should we then take on our plate? Like additionally, like, it's like, should we hire like outside publicists or not? Or should we just like trust like that in-house it's going to be doing this? But it's so, yeah, like as far as like marketing and publicity, like I know for like me, it's like we had two pretty big Goodreads promotions that like my publisher did, which was awesome. And it's like, I barely post on social media. And that got me like so many ads, like thousands of ads, even though I only have like hundreds of like followers on social media. But it's like, I have like more ads than people who are in my debut class whose like book already came out, because it's like my publisher went hard. And then we did have like physical arcs. I'm like so bad at like doing, so I don't know who they sent them to or anything like that. But so yeah, Angela, like it's like, I'm looking at someone's like, my book is going to be out in like 2 months, and I like have not bothered to like send them to like anybody. But I hope my publisher
send it to me. Here. You haven't sent me.
I need to send it to you. But it's like, So yeah, like when we sat down, I'm like, okay, like as far as like pre-order camp, like now that I'm like going to like launches for friends, events and stuff, like I thought like, and I'm like seeing them like just like give for free, like the pre-order stuff. I'm like, I don't have the energy right now to like do this. So it's like, I talked to like my publisher and they're like, yeah, if you want to do something, we'll help coordinate it. And I'm like, I'm not going to do anything. Like I am like so deep into like book two. So it's like what I'm just going to post like once a week. And like, that's that, like, it's like what you guys, what Elle was saying, like, it's like, I think, and what Johnny was saying too about like social media, like it's, I feel like whether the book is a success is like on them more than it is like on me. So I think what my process has been in this is I'm a debut. So it's like, I'm just like hoping that like by, but when book two hits the shelves, like next summer, you know, I'll have like a readership and then get like I think by writing books that like grows like the sales and like moves the needle. But like, as far as like book one, I'm like, you guys could do everything. I'm tired. And like anything extra, like if you guys want to send me places, I'll show up. But other than that, like all the money, like, yeah, like I'm not like one of our other debuts. She's like, you're not going to have like bookmarks or anything like that. And I'm like, no, it's like, I want to like, I'm going to like Hong Kong for a month in like October. So like any extra money, I'm going to spend it on myself because it's like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do like anything. Maybe I'll like regret that when it comes out and I haven't done that. But I feel like, yeah, like everyone that I know, it's like the success, it's on the publisher and not on us. And I think there's just like now this like added pressure on like authors to be like their own publicists and their own like marketers as well. And it's like, no, I'm going to like plant like my flag in that I, you guys hired me to like write a book and that's what I'm going to do. So that's like my salty take on that.
I love that.
I hope.
Yes. I love that for you, Jessica. I love that for you.
And so many of the things, what like Elle was like saying is like, it's so out of our control. So it's like, you guys will come to learn of this. And like, Johnny, like, it's like, I'm interested to hear your thoughts. Like a lot of the stuff that like publicity does do for us, it's like, they'll pitch us to stuff, but it's like, then that's out of their control too. Like whether or not we get like, you know, nominated for awards or things like that. Like, that's what I just learned. I'm like, oh, I thought that like anyone could just be, you know, like everyone gets like accepted and everyone gets like due consideration. And it's like, no, it's like the, you know, the publicity team will like do like their best efforts to get you out there. But then whether or not that leads to anything is like not in our control. And yeah, there's like so many things like, and this is going to be interesting for like Elle too, like, that I didn't think about and that I'm going to be like way more, you know, intentional about with like other books is often I feel like it's like, do you want the book to be commercial or do you want it to be like a critical success or like a, you know, like with reviews? And I'm like the title could make such a difference, like of whether or not like your book gets consideration for different things, like the way the cover looks. Whereas like before, like, I'm like, oh, like I didn't think about that until now when I'm like, okay, you know, like my cover is like a banger. It's like very cutesy. It's like, it gives me like all the Lisa Frank vibes, but then I'm thinking like, okay, well, like if a librarian like looks at it, they're just going to think it's a straight up rom-com. They're not going to know that it's really like, you know, like a dissertation on like diaspora and like, you know, like the first gen struggle. So then that's like, now I'm like thinking, like I love the cover, but like if it was a quote unquote more somber tone or like subdued colors, like would I, yeah, I don't know. And so that's like things, considerations that I'm thinking. And again, it's like so out of my control, but just something that you guys are going to have to like, you know, think about. And I think for, you know, like authors that are not at this stage yet to think about that, like sometimes, yeah, like the titles can make such a difference of like whether or not you're going to go up for an award or not. But then, you know, like that stuff could be very different from what like a reader wants too. So I don't know, Johnny, do you have any hot takes on that?
I mean, one, I'm like focused on this last part and I'm like, I feel like a future episode about like not author brand, but like book brand, like would be such a fun thing to talk about of like title and cover and the inside of it. And like all of these things that like make or break according to like readers and publishers and people who have say so, I think that'd be really fun. But I think that like, oh my God, so many thoughts. One, like pre-order campaigns absolutely do not matter. I embraced the idea that pre-order campaigns are to celebrate with those people who were already going to buy that book before it came out. anyways. You're not going to get a million people buying that book before the pub date just because I have two little character art cards. Like, that's not a realistic thing to believe in. It's because your day ones are like already on it and that Barnes & Noble site 3 months beforehand, and you want to be like, you're my day ones, let's have some fun together. So like, never think that like a pre-order campaign is something you have to do. Never think that like spending your own money is something that you have to do. If you want to, like, that's just something that you can do. And I think that like publicity wise, I think you had met, like y'all had mentioned it too, of just like having to be sometimes your own publicist. Like, you know, when it comes to, I think it's important very much for Latina debuts or like people trying to get into traditional publishing to learn about which of these sort of outlets that are Latina focused are talking about books, Hip Latina, Latinx Spaces, I think one is called, like, see which of those like are talking about us, are for us, and present those to your publisher, because 50-50 chance they don't know that these exist. And so like, we have to kind of come for our community and make sure that like we're working together for ourselves. And just in terms of that, also with the awards too, like I was seeing a lot of like Texas-based awards, Mexican-based awards that like my first publisher had never heard of. And I'm like, I need you to put me in for these too, because these are small, might win those, maybe, who knows? Maybe no one else has heard of them too. And so like keeping track of these things that are for us identity-wise, as much as like we, you know, a lot of times don't want to focus on identity, and that's healthy and valid too. But there are things that like identity focus that help us and help our community. And like, we've just kind of got to go to bat for them and recognize that they exist. Yeah, I think that's it. Whew.
Angela?
Yeah, I was just taking a breath because that, Johnny, what you just said, it feels like a weight has been lifted from my shoulders. It was very freeing to hear what you had to say, to be honest, because especially when you see pre-order campaigns and so many people do so much and they're beautiful and so creative. And in my brain, I'm like, how the hell do I do this? And I commissioned artwork, which I'll never regret, just for me, because I will have it for me. And it's gorgeous. And so I was like, well, I'm going to print these. And, you know, I could do giveaways, whatever. And so I was like, well, I'm not going to spend too much. So my cheap ass went to walmart.com and printed them, and I printed them wrong. And so I spent like 40, 50 bucks on a big box of my like commissioned art. And it's like this floppy paper, and it says walmart.com on the back. No offense to walmart.com, but it says Walmart right on the back. And I'm like, what do I do with this? And so I went on amazon.com and I bought like these little stickers to stick on the back, but they're too small. And so I'm not good at this. That side of things, I am not good at. And so I was trying to put like all this pressure on myself, like, okay, well, let's do it again. Let's, you know, think of something really clever, but I am not clever in that creative pre-order way. I will send those to people, but I will apologize also of like, hey, it's still pretty, but it's probably not what you're expecting. But then maybe you should just expect that from me. So, you know, whatever. But it is very freeing to hear, like, don't put pressure on yourself to pay for things that really aren't going to tip the scales in this, you know, wild fashion. And I just feel like this a burden also of, because we are debuting with Joy Revolution, and it is this beautiful imprint, you know, that highlights authors of color and stories about joy and love and kissing. And so, and because my cover has these two beautiful brown people on the front, I feel this pressure to do whatever the hell I can to get it out there. But there's only so much that I can do. And obviously it's not pre-order campaigning. So, but like what you said, meeting influencers that are you know, boosting Latine books and part of the community is so key. And so thank you. I'm taking notes. I appreciate it.
What about you, Elle?
Yeah, I want to echo what Johnny said. They're just making the points today that it really, my pre-order campaign, when I was thinking about it, I just posted something on my Instagram, like a poll asking my followers, like, what do you like in pre-order campaigns? Because at the end of the day, it's for them. I don't think that many people that don't know me are going to come across this and be like, oh, dang, she's giving away stickers. I gotta buy this book. So really it's for my friends. And I think it's a little gift to them for saying like, thank you for supporting me, which is what it is, but it is like a very intimate thing to be able to send something to my friends and assemble little gifts and maybe do giveaways with them. But really, I think that they're for the people that have supported me since the beginning, like people who were excited about my book before it was like had a cover, which it still doesn't right now, but by the time this comes out, it'll have a cover. But the people who have been like ride or die since the beginning, they deserve to be celebrated too, because I really appreciate them. I want to know, what do they want? Like, that's really who it's for. It's for me to have fun, to print out cool art, because I just love art, but it's also for them because they're the people who are going to take it and actually do something with it. And that's really who I want to focus on. I'm not going to spend all this time thinking like, I need to get enamel pins. That's the one that everybody loves. And they are pricey.
Yeah, don't do enamel pins.
Don't do enamel. Yeah. And I'm like, who is going to see an enamel pin of a tres leche cake and be like, you know what? I got to buy that book now because I need that enamel pin. Okay. Actually, everyone on this call would. But,
it's been confirmed. You need to make that for us.
I will make just three.
Tres leches pins. Oh my God. Never need anything more.
I will make just three for everyone on this call. I actually bought tres leche earrings like in a year in advance. Just like they'll be my go-to earrings for the year. But I also wanted to say, this is going to sound shady, but I swear it's not. It's just a subjective thing. Book covers can be so important because I have seen so many books just get so much hype because it's a really, really good cover. And that plagued me during the cover process because it made me think like my version of pre-order campaigns being make or break was cover. I love my cover. I absolutely love the way it came out. But the whole time I'm just like, covers can be make or break. That people are so like upset. Like, you know, people do buy a book based on its cover. They can say that they don't, but they definitely do. I've seen it happen many, 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 many times over the years. And there was so much pressure with the cover, but I was like, I'm going to trust my publishers. They know what the deal is. Exactly like what you were saying, Jess, earlier about title two. Like, that was not the original title of my book. It got changed over, like, you know, after it was acquired, we changed the title. And I trust them. I trust everyone. I love the way everything turned out. But that was definitely like my thing that I focused on was like, the book cover is going to be make or break. Like, if they see that it's not the right color, they're going to freak out. And I'm like, I'm happy at the end of the day. So I've made my peace. I was like, I love it. I hope people love it as much as I do. So
everyone's going to love your cover.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
After we're done recording here, after we hit stop recording, we're going to need to see the cover.
Yeah. Oh, I will pull her up. She's my phone background. So
we need to see the Walmart stickers.
Oh, yes. I want to see the Walmart sticker. That's the overall message anyone should take away from this, is to not order prints from walmart.com.
Freaking A. I'm telling you, when I got those things, I was like, oh Lord, just another thing, just another fun thing that I've done.
I will put out, I did mine, my debut book through Cat Print. If you're going to do character cards or even what do they call it? Like book plates, I would recommend Cat Prints. They send you even like examples before, like they actually send you the big quantity to make sure that like it's what you want. So yeah, here's that 30-second ads for catprints.com. Catprints.com, I don't have a code. I'm sorry.
Well, thank you for that, because maybe I need to look them up.
Well, what? Okay, moving on to the last question. I can't believe this is like the last one. And we touched a little bit about this, but I'm interested to go into it further. What do you wish you had known about the marketing and publicity side of book publishing? What were you surprised to learn? And we'll start with Johnny.
I think that like, I feel like I knew that there's no sort of like standard across publishing for what marketing and publicity looks like, but just to like see those differences come into play, now even like, not even when it comes to like different publishing houses, but like even within houses and like seeing how some imprints in Macmillan don't get arcs and some do and stuff like that. You know, I think that like, I always think that there's, you should have a list of things that you as an author are going to go to bat for your book and just not stand back for when it comes to those sort of things. And if in that list, it includes things like physical arcs, it includes things like, I need to know what sort of papers and magazines and stuff you're going to put me in or like try to get me into and stuff like that, or I need a say in that sort of thing. Do you? Like, I think those are all very important. And if that's what you want to go to bat for, like, by all means, do so. But I would also say that, like, and we've covered this multiple times, but just to say it one more time, we have no say in how successful our book is as an author ourselves. That is one thing that I think that, like, I spent too long trying to think I could do until just eventually it was just like, nope, gotta let go and let God at this point, because nothing I do matters anymore in the best way. Like, I just got to enjoy myself now. I did the cool thing. I get to revel in it now. And whatever happens, happens.
I love that. What about you, Elle?
Yeah, I think the thing that I learned that was kind of surprising is that I had this assumption that, you know, the bigger the advance, the better the marketing and publicity is going to be. Not necessarily true, which was very interesting, which is that sometimes they'll throw a lot of money at a book and still not do anything. And sometimes, depending on, you know, the imprint, the editor, the book itself, books with smaller advances actually, you know, get quite a lot in comparison to other imprints. And that's just to say that, like, everything is truly so subjective, which is why I think, like, the slogan of being in the writing community is to keep your eyes on your paper. Because, like, you know, like, even Angela and I at the same imprint are going to have a different experience. Like, inevitably, even though we are the same season, the same imprint, it's inevitably going to be different because our books are different. We are different people. We're going to be pitched to different things. And it's just so interesting to see how it is not standardized at all. You know, most likely if you have a big advance, you know, they're going to do a little bit more, but that's not necessarily true. And when you have a smaller advance, that's also not necessarily true that you're not going to get anything. You know, I think a lot of us have that expectation, but it's not necessarily always going to be the case. And that's what I think I was most shocked by, is just another way that publishing is just 100% subjective and there is no one answer, no one way to do anything, because everything is going to completely depend on what's going on with you.
Yeah. Angela? I don't think I could nod my head enough to what both of you guys had to say. I mean, really, I'm just taking notes at this point in the podcast. I think also it's like, I don't know why I had this expectation of all the bells and whistles, or just excitement of just everybody would be wanting to talk with me about all the things happening. And no, that's not the case. You know, it's everybody's so busy with a million projects at any given time. And it's kind of a waiting game of when it's your turn, you'll get the email. But until then, you're kind of in the dark and you're just waiting. And I think querying really helped with the learning how to wait. And then submission, you know, learning how to wait and how to endure while you're waiting. And so I just feel like you get the book deal, you get the book, but still there's things that you just have to wait for. And it's not because they're not thinking of your book or, you know, working thing, but there's so many things happening at any given moment that it's just not that time. You know, for instance, with my cover, I was like, okay, we've got the cover. Can I share it? Well, not yet. We have to do these things first. Like, but I have it, you know? And so there's a lot at play. And so being patient is really kind of the only way you survive, at least for me, with the caveat of for me, you know? And then also something that I was surprised that I've learned about myself is how much it scares me to ask the questions. And because you're not necessarily going to get the answers without you asking them, you know? And so that's what I have been surprised about throughout this journey.
Yeah, same for me. It's asking the questions, and sometimes you're not going to like the answer when you do you know, get the question. So that's one of the things that I've like learned too. It's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, fine. Like there's just like some things I'm going to have to do, you know, myself. And then if I have the time and the energy to do it, like I'll do it. And then another thing is just like, even if there is a plan, like sometimes things happen. Like my editor, she's like not going to be, she's going to be on maternity leave while, you know, my book launches. So it's like, that's awful. So it's like her assistant is going to be like handling a lot of the stuff. And that's, you know, sort of like nerve wracking, but like, again, like I trust my house that they're going to do like right by me and whatever, like I, you know, I have like other books. So it's like, sometimes it's like in your head, you think it's going to be like this ideal thing. And like what Elle was saying, like some, you see some like authors, you know, like getting to go on tour or like doing different things. And just like some imprints have like different in-house things that it's like, it's easier for them to like send a bunch of people on tour, you know? So it's like, if you're with a smaller house, they don't really have that. So yeah, just like keeping your eyes on your paper, and just like knowing that even when there is a plan for you marketing or publicity wise, like sometimes that doesn't pan out either. So I am so happy that we chatted. It's like, I feel like this has been like, even just like a little like masterclass for me. So I hope that it is, you know, like equally as helpful to other people. If you'd like to learn more about Las Musas or our books, please visit our website at lasmusasbooks.com or find us on social media, Las Musas Books, and be sure to check out our bookshop page where each purchase of one of our books goes towards supporting independent bookstores. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also sign up for Las Musas newsletter to have podcast updates, as well as other Musa news, such as release dates, teasers, spotlights, and more delivered straight to your inbox. Thanks for listening.